Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 1. Mukta Sangha Nhambadi Tritutsa Samanvita Sidya Sido Nivikara Karta Satika Uchite. Text 26. Mukta Sangha Nhambadi Tridyutsaha samanvita Sadya Sidyor Nivikara Karta Sattvika Uchite. Mukta Sangha, liberated from all material association. Anaham Vadi, without false ego. Dhriti, with determination. Utsaha, and great enthusiasm. Samanvitaha, qualified. Siddhi, imperfection. Asidyo, and failure. Nivikara, without change. Karta, worker. Sattvika, in the mode of goodness. Uchite, is said to be. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering success or failure, said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. For about a person in Krishna consciousness is always transcendental to the material modes of nature. He has no expectations for the result of the work entrusted to him, because he is above false ego and pride. Still, he is always enthusiastic till the completion of such work. He does not worry about the distress undertaken. He is always enthusiastic. He does not care for success or failure. He is equal in both distress and happiness. Such a worker is situated in the mode of goodness. Mukta sangha naham vadi dritutsaha samanvita sidya sidyor nivikara karta sattvika uchite. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, without wavering success or failure, said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. In the Nectar of Instruction, it is said, Utsaha nischaya daryat. Utsaha nischaya daryat. Tat tat karma vartana. Sangha tyago sutovrite shadvira bhaktir. Precedity, that to advance in devotional service, one has to acquire certain qualifications. And, of course, beginning with utsaha nischaya darya. So, utsaha, enthusiasm. And what's the definition of enthusiasm? Does anyone know? Going to a nectar of devotion. Anyone here ever enthusiastic? Charanaran, if you're enthusiastic. He's also humble, so he doesn't. So what's the definition of enthusiasm? Activities performed in devotional service in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. Endeavors performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So there are Utsaha has its element, intelligence. Endeavor performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So these things are good to remember. So at least we can put the ingredients together. Intelligent endeavor performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So can anyone explain that? Why is that? Why do you need an endeavor? You have to do something. Perform with intelligence. In Krishna consciousness, it's called enthusiasm. Does it help? Does it remind you of anything else in the Bhagavad Gita? Well, it doesn't. We can help you remember. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said to Arjuna, if we go into the 27th and 28th verses, which are more problematic, and probably we can identify. Actually, I'll read 27. Karmi ragi karma pala prepsura lubda him samakav suchi harsha shoka vitakarta rajasa tamasavritaha rajasam parikirtitaha. The worker is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, said to be in the mode of passion. Purport. Person is too much attached to a certain kind of work, or to the result because he has too much attachment for materialism, or hearth and home, wife and children. Such a person has no desire for a higher elevation in life. He is simply concerned with making the world as materially comfortable as possible. He is generally very greedy, and he thinks that anything obtained by him is permanent and never to be lost. Such a person is envious of others, prepared to do anything wrong for sense gratification. Such a person is unclean, and he does not care whether he is earning is pure or impure. He is very happy if his work is successful, and very distressed when his work is not successful. Such a worker is in the mode of passion. Does anyone know anyone like that? Sound familiar? And that's not even the worst. The worst is the mode of ignorance. Ayukta prakrita stabda shato naishkrikito lasa vishadi durga sutricha karta tamasa uchate. The worker is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture. Who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others. And who is lazy, always morose, and procrastinating. Said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. Purport. In the scriptural injunctions, we find what sort of work should be performed, what sort of work should not be performed. Those who do not care for those injunctions engage in work not to be done. Such persons are generally materialistic. They work according to the modes of nature, not according to the injunctions of the scripture. Such a workers are not very gentle, and generally they are always cunning and expert in insulting others. They are very lazy. Even though they have some duty, they do not perform it properly. They put aside it to be done later on. Therefore, they appear to be morose. They procrastinate. Anything that can be done in an hour, they drag on for years. Such workers are situated in the mode of ignorance. So in other words, endeavor performed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So one has to find out what the proper endeavor is, not just any endeavor. Because without the proper endeavor, as Krishna said to Arjuna, Arjuna is wondering, why is it that I have so many problems? I want to do the right thing, but I can't. I don't. I wind up doing the wrong thing. Why is that? So Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna Samudvavaha, Mahashano Mahapapma, Vidinam Ihavarina. That is lust only, Arjuna, born of contact with the material mode of passion, and later turned into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. And then he says that, as fire is covered by smoke, as the mirror is covered by dust, as the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. So we want to find out if we have any lust. We just have to ask one question. Do I identify with this body or this mind? And if the answer is yes, then we have a little bit of contamination at least. And we can judge from the how much contamination by these other verses. Am I concerned about success or failure, or I don't even care about success or failure. The most beautiful thing in my life is my bed. My biggest attachment in life is to get out of it. I seem to be stuck in the bed in the morning. So this is a symptom of being covered. So that's not... So, but now we have to find out what endeavor we can do with intelligence. So the Krishna says, when he goes over how we're proud, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. Then he gives a solution. He just doesn't discourage Arjuna. You're a fallen soul. And Arjuna says, yeah, sure. What to do? I'm finished. I think I'll just surrender to Duryodhana and join his party. I'm such a... No, Krishna says, Tasma tvam indriyanya do niyamya bharatarshiva patmanam pratihiyenam jnana vijnanam nashanam. Therefore, in the very beginning, Arjuna curbed this great symbol of lust by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So there's a way out. Find out what Krishna wants us to do and then just become determined to do it. Tasmatvam indiyanya do niyamya bharatarshiva. Therefore, regulate the senses. Regulate the senses means find out what Krishna wants us to do. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. And just do it. That's called regulating the senses. Not very complicated. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than intelligence. So now we find out we actually have intelligence. So now we have to use the intelligence when we're making an endeavor. And what is that intelligence? Evam bude puram budva samstavyatmanam atmana shahi shatru mahabaho kamarupam durasidam. Therefore, Arjuna, knowing oneself to be superior to the intelligence, mind, and senses, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this enemy known as lust. So what we have to do is put our mind on Krishna. So the best endeavor is any endeavor that helps us remember Krishna. So we can think about Krishna. And if we think about Krishna, that means we're using our intelligence to take shelter of Krishna. And wherever Krishna is Surya Sama, Maya Aindakara. The Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. So if Krishna is there, then gradually the darkness in our heart will dissipate in the Krishna sunlight. So the whole process is quite simple. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So in other words, if we find out what we're supposed to do through Guru Sadhana Shastra, we do it with intelligence in order to take shelter of Krishna, to put our mind in Krishna, then we'll become enthusiastic. And if we don't do that, then we wind up in these modes of material nature. And if we feel ourselves unenthusiastic, sometimes lamenting, we're wasting our time, we're doing something, well, yeah, sure, because we're in the modes of nature. That's what we're supposed to, that's what happens when we're in the mode of nature. We shouldn't be disappointed. That's what it's supposed to be. And we're not the only victims of the material modes of nature, because every living entity in the material world is in the modes of material nature, and therefore, to some degree or another, is experiencing ignorance and passion. But we have a way out, and we can try to cultivate this knowledge by which we can gradually find out what we're supposed to be doing, and first of all, do that. And here it says, Mukta Sangha Naham Vadis. So, the first thing we should do is understand how everything belongs to Krishna. That everything is actually Krishna's energy, and therefore, we're actually not part of the material world. Mukta Sangana Hamvadi, we're actually a spiritual being. So then the next thing is become determined to do something for Krishna, that's all. And we just identify, before we do anything, we identify ourselves as a servant to the servant of Krishna, and then do something to please, according to what he wants us to do, with determination, in spite of whatever our minds may be alluring us to do. We just make the determination, I'm going to do this, whatever the allurement of mind tells me, I'm going to do it anyhow. And then the result is that if we do it, then Krishna will be pleased upon us and reveal himself to us. And then we become enthusiastic, utsaha. So first of all, we have to agree that we're spiritual beings and that not become attached to the result of the work. Then we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do and do that with determination. And when Krishna sees we're sincere and he reveals himself, then we become enthusiastic. And if we're enthusiastic, then siddhya, siddhyo, nivikara. It doesn't really matter if we're in ecstasy, what happens outside, because we're just happy. It's everyone's endeavoring to become happy, and if we're actually happy, there's nothing more to endeavor for. And under any circumstance, if we're happy, we're satisfied. Siddhya, siddhyo, nivikara, karta, sattvika. So such a person is in the mode of goodness. Actually, they're supposed to be transcendental, but they're in pure goodness. Now, ragi, karma, pala, prebsura, lupta, himsa, mukha, suchi, harsha, shoka, vita, karta, rajasa, parikirti, taha. Now, when we don't find, first of all, think about what I'm supposed to do as a matter of duty, then we immediately come to the point, well, what am I going to act for? I want to act for happiness. So therefore, our mind will invent some endeavor for happiness. And that means there's only four things for happiness in the material world. I mean, generally speaking, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So then choose which happiness you want. So that's called the mode of passion. Well, we're going to endeavor to get happiness in one of those four fields. Or at least to make profit so in the future we can enjoy that one of those four happiness. We can sleep in a better bed, in a bigger house. We can eat better. We can have more sex or whatever, more decorated sex with violins playing or whatever. Or we can defend ourselves. We can kill all our enemies, mentally or physically or virtually, whatever. Get pleasure from wiping out all the dragons in the dungeon. So that's the happiness in the mode of passion. In the mode of ignorance, life is really simple. If you have something to eat and a place to sleep, your life is complete. There's nothing more to ask for. And if you can get it without, you know, as it said, the king was offering a few free room and board, free room and eat and food for anyone who's lazy in his kingdom. So he set up a house for it. The whole kingdom practically came into the house to live there. So the house was overcrowded. So the minister told the king that you've offered free food and a place to live for all the lazy people in the kingdom, but the house is completely overcrowded. Everyone claims they're lazy. So the king said, set the house on fire. So the minister set the house on fire and everyone ran out except for two people. One of them was on the front of his body was on fire. The other one said, the other one had the back of his body on fire. So one lazy man told the other, he said, your front is on fire. He said, I'm too lazy to roll over. He said, well, your back is on fire, so I'm too lazy to roll over. So it was reported to the king that two of the people in the house, they were on fire, but they were too lazy to roll over. So the king said, they're actually lazy. Give them free food and board. So that's the mode of ignorance. In any case, we're trying to get out of the mode of ignorance and passion. And part of that is just to understand what is our duty. Now, in the material world, no one ever asks that question. What is my duty? People think, my duty, whatever their occupation, I'm just here to make money. It doesn't matter what it is. Or to get some prestige or something. That's my duty. But duty means according to Scripture, but people don't believe in Scripture. Most people don't. Some people do, to some extent. But what am I actually supposed to do for the Supreme Person? What does He want me to do? Now, there's no question of varna and ashram for most people, because there's no cow protection, there's no righteous king, there's no elevated Brahmins, and there are hardly any good shudras. No one wants to even serve anyone. And very few people are actually worthy of service. So the only thing left is we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and He says He wants us to chant Hare Krishna. And most people think that's ridiculous, that it's a waste of time. And we think, well, yeah, I chant 16 rounds and I'm finished. No, I can spend the rest of my time. As probably once said, he was chanting and then he wrote, the last BB I came down and he threw his bees on the table. So now I've finished my 16 rounds and I can do any damn thing I want. So we're offered this opportunity to chant Hare Krishna as a very simple duty in this age, as a yuga dharma, as the sacrifice in this age. But we have to learn how to take it seriously, and then without false ego, understand that this is an opportunity to reunite with Krishna again. So I'm doing this not to get anything material, not with the material concept of life, how nice my voice sounds, or how much people appreciate, or as Prabhupada used to say, people would go and imitate Haridas Thakur and sit in a lonely place, chant all day to get the adoration from the public that they're so renounced. So without false ego, simply as an opportunity to serve Krishna out of love, to develop our loving spirit. And then, if we do that with determination and without attachment to these thoughts that will come to our mind, then Krishna, if He appears within our memory, then we'll become enthusiastic. And in the happiness of discovering what it means, especially between the love of Radha and Krishna, to experience that, the happiness Krishna experiences when He experiences Srimati Radharani's love, and the happiness that Srimati Radharani experiences when she experiences how happy Krishna is. That's called love. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and introduced the Hare Krishna mantra to us, so we can experience the same thing. And if we experience that, that doesn't really, then whatever success or failure won't disturb us at all, because we'll be experiencing our actual real nature, the actual thing that we're looking for, namely the unlimited ocean of love between Radha and Krishna and his associates. That means that's success. And we've gotten karma since time immemorial, which made everything very complicated for us. And therefore we can look into the modes of ignorance and passion and find out what it's like when we're not endeavoring that way and just relate it to our present existence. And rather than get disappointed, realize, well, Maya got me again. I better start chanting again. Rather than think, wow, I'm a bad person. I'll never go back to Godhead. I'm here forever and ever because some people are bad souls and I happen to be one of them. I'm naturally in the mode of ignorance and passion. That's what I'm meant for. No, that's just Maya's tricking us again. It's just that we're learning to get gradually to become, first of all, understand that everything belongs to Krishna, that I'm actually a spiritual being, and that I should get some determination to chant and listen, to chant nicely so I can listen to what I'm chanting. And then hopefully Krishna sees our sincerity and then he reveals himself, and then we can understand what we're here for, to become Krishna conscious. Because Krishna is unlimited, therefore he has unlimited beauty, etc., unlimited bliss and love and everything. So this is beyond our comprehension what it is, but it can gradually be experienced, even a fraction of a drop of its experience. Then we'll discover what life is actually meant for. Otherwise, we should memorize, we should learn these verses so that when we're in the modes of ignorance and passion, we don't think I am the mode of ignorance and passion. We can understand now I'm influenced by them, and let me take shelter of Krishna, and we'll no longer be influenced by the modes of material nature anymore. And then gradually, by practice, it will remain steady. Mam chayo vyapacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. As the happiness of Krishna consciousness increases, so the distraction of material energy decreases, and gradually we'll come to the platform where abhichari bhakti will no longer be influenced by the modes, and will simply experience ever increasingly steadily and ever increasingly intensively the love between Krishna and his devotees, especially Srimati Radharani, and everything else will seem like it's useless, a waste of time. Just like no one goes to the, if one wants to eat an apple, no one goes to the bank of the river where the apple tree is reflected on the water and dive in to get the apple. No one is such a fool. Instead, they climb up into the tree and get the apple. So once we find out where the real tree is, where the real apple is, we won't be diving looking for the apple in the water anymore. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? It's all very simple, actually. But we made everything a little complicated. The material nature makes things complicated for us, I should say. It's difficult when you want to become God and you're not God. It's a real struggle. Any questions or comments? Don't disappoint me standing there with them. Well, we have another 15 minutes for him to stand there. He's backing away. You've discouraged him. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharashma Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.